Bring Christian greetings to each one this morning. Thankful for Jesus and that he's made it possible for us to be here. Why don't we get our songbooks and turn over to page 370. Page 370. I hope as each one of us have started on a Christian journey that we're keeping that city of light in view. As Jesus said, that he said he's going away to prepare a mansion for us. And if he went away, that he would come again to receive us unto himself. And this song speaks about that city in the sky. Let's all of us stand. 370 in the Christian hymnal, beginning with the 26th verse. Before we begin the reading of the word, let's just bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee this morning, we thank Thee for the privilege of being able to be in Thy presence in the place of worship this morning, gathered together with thy people. Father, we thank thee for the word of God that is quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. We're thankful, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that can take the word and drive it home to each one of our hearts. Let us know how much we need thee, Lord, how needy we are this morning. And we pray that thou will help us that we might have our cups turned right side up, that we might receive what thou dost have for each one of us in our hearts. We pray especially for these four young people, Lord, that have given their hearts to the Lord and yielded themselves to thee and have presented themselves for baptism. We just pray that thou would give them encouragement and strength. Help them, Lord, to lean heavy upon thee and to realize that thou dost have the answer to every situation that faces them in life. And each one of us, we pray that thou will help us to look back to this time in our lives as we give our hearts to the Lord. Help us not to just go on a one-time experience, but to realize that it's a day-by-day walk. And help us, Lord, to live our lives in a way of holiness and righteousness before thee, that when the last trump sounds, we shall be ready to meet thee. We thank thee for thy mercy and ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This is a special day for especially these four young people. And you know, I have to look at my little list every once in a while, like I did in instruction class, for Matthew and for Rachel and Adriana and Jewel. And it's a special day for each one of you parents as you see that your children have taken another step in the pilgrim journey, as their eyes are fixed on that celestial city. And grandparents and brothers and sisters and all the others that are friends and relatives. And in Acts, the 8th chapter, we find another special day, and I'd like to read about it. We just get to see a little period of time in this eunuch's life. But I had to think back even before this scripture was written. I noticed a little statement, and it was talking about limitations in our lives. But it said, with your imagination, you can go anywhere. And they always told me that I had a good imagination. I don't know. But I like to look back just a little bit and think about this man. He was a Ethiopian man at this point, but there was a day when he was just a boy. And I was thinking of my own life when they were back in those days where we were, they were preaching child evangelism. And I planned to be baptized, and I was 7 years old and didn't really understand what I was doing. We believe in believer's baptism. We believe that when a man knows that he's been cleansed of his sin and forgiven, then he's a candidate for baptism, for believer's baptism. And myself, as a little boy, I was 7 years old in the second grade, I think. I was just wanting to do what was right. I wanted to get to heaven, and I was doing what they told me to do. And I was baptized back then when I was 7 years old. And then when we came here, I felt like my baptism was not valid because I don't believe that I really knew what I was doing. And I was 33 years old when I was baptized again. Brother Dan said I was a real Anabaptist because I was rebaptized. And I was baptized with a large class. I can't remember all that was in that class, but they were filled up about that whole row over there. And I remember that time, and I believe that was a real believer's baptism. Well, I had to think of this Ethiopian man as a... There was one day that he was a little seven-year-old fella, didn't know much about religion or any of the things about religion. But there came a time when his conscience became alive and he began to realize his need of God, no doubt. He was born in that country down in Africa, and there came a time, and I don't know, these details were not filled in. We don't know all about them. And he became probably a servant in the court of the Queen Candace there of the Ethiopians. And then as he diligently applied himself in his work, evidently he was given more responsibility and more, as he received more responsibility, he moved up the ladder, so to speak. Maybe we're getting just a little ahead of ourselves. Let's just read, starting here with verse 26 in Acts, the 8th chapter. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Israel for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias as the saith the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? I'd like to stop here just for a little bit. Here was this man who was up in authority, this man who was in charge of the treasures of Ethiopia. This man was not only just a man of authority there, but at some point he had begun to worship God. And he came to Israel. He left the country down there and came to Israel for that reason, is to worship God. And now he was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot reading from what we would call the book of Isaiah. And in chapter 53, And the couple of verses there in 7 and 8, he was reading the scripture. And I had to think how important this is and how much this is just like our own young people. Here was a man who was a great man in the world's eyes, but little in his own sight. He was a man who was seeking, he was searching, he was wanting God. And I hope that each one of us have come to that point in our lives where that we saw our need and we have sought the Lord and then found him. God used Philip, another man of God, and he told him to go down south to the way that goeth from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. We're hearing a lot about that today in the news. It's the little Gaza Strip still right there. And the war is going on. The rockets are flying. The missiles are flying. And people are dying over there. Wars and rumors of war. It reminds me that the Lord said that when you see these things take place, lift up your eyes, because your redemption draweth nigh. When these things take place, Jesus' second coming is near. It's even at the door. But this man, Philip, he was a man that was a deacon who was ordained back with the other deacons there in the early part of Acts, Stephen and some of the others. And God spoke to him and told him what to do and where to go. And he didn't hesitate. It said he arose in verse 27 and he went. And it didn't just happen so that as he was there that he met the eunuch in the big chariot. No doubt he was riding along in this huge chariot, but his mind was on other things. He was reading there in Isaiah. He was reading the words and he said, let's just look at this a moment. When it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou that thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. We can't save people ourselves, but God can. But the important thing is to bring them to Jesus, bring them to the foot of the cross. The Lord is the one that can save them. And here this great man of authority, this Ethiopian eunuch, came in contact with the gospel, and he was reading and didn't understand what he was reading, but Philip was willing to get up in the chariot with him and set aside his own duties and the things of the day and talk to him about Jesus. The little song says something about Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And it still is to the hearts of those that have yielded their hearts to him. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he spoke about the one that was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, and how he opened not his mouth. He didn't do like, no doubt, the ones that he was used to dealing with in the Ethiopian court down there. People in the normal courts, the palaces, they push one this way and that way and try to get up and gain status. But Jesus was the one that was a one of humility. And he was like a sheep that was led to the slaughter. And he didn't lash out. He didn't strike back. He didn't try to defend himself. And no doubt Philip preached this to this hungry man, this seeking man. And then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Wonder who had told him that he would need to be baptized if he became a Christian. I don't know if Philip would have explained this as he preached Jesus to him, but here was someone who was asking for baptism. There was water, and he said, "Who has hindered me? What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Just like Brother, I think it was Brother Joseph mentioned this morning, if people allow themselves to be baptized and become real Christians, there used to be some real consequences to that. And there still are in the day that we're living. I just read yesterday that this Islamic group that has come into Syria and taken over a large amount of Syria, now has moved into Iraq and taken over a large amount of Iraq, that now they're beginning to clamp down. And they said, if Christians are living in the area that they have taken over, they said they have three choices. They can either flee, or they can change to Islam, or they can lose their lives because they will kill them if they do not flee or if they do not change to Islam. We're living in a pretty easy day. We can become a Christian and we can declare ourselves Christians and let everyone know that we're Christians. And we don't face a lot of that type of persecution, to realizing we're going to lose our heads if we declare that we're Christians and are baptized. But the pressure on us is, it seems like a spiritual warfare. And the pressures of the spiritual darkness that's all around us, and spiritual darkness in the churches, and the nominal Christianity is pressing in on each one of us and trying to squish the life out of us, so to speak, and cause us to just become a nominal Christian, just coast along with the tide, just not really to have what it is going to take to stand the test and to stem the tide. But I believe here was a man who really wanted to be a real Christian. And he was not ashamed to declare it to the whole world. He wasn't ashamed to be baptized, and he wanted to be baptized now. I had to think back when Philip was talking to him and explaining to him, it's a lot like our instruction classes. It's important that our young people realize what they're doing and why they're doing it. Otherwise, why is there liable not to stand when the battle is on? But Philip taught that instruction class, and he had a student that was willing to go all the way with the Lord. So Philip said, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I preached on this message one time down in Belize, and there's different thoughts on different modes of baptism, and I tried to explain it in my mind's eye how I could see, it seems like, Philip and the eunuch as they walked down into the water, and then the eunuch, in my thoughts, knelt down, and Jesus took the water and let it run down over his head, and he was baptized. And it was a sign, this water baptism, of what had taken place when a man believes with all of their heart that the Holy Spirit comes into their heart and they're baptized into the great family of God. And this is an earthly sign of with a heavenly meaning and a type of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the saint of God. But they came up out of the water, both of them came up. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now I'd like to look for just a little bit over into the 16th chapter of Acts. If you want to turn along with us over in the 16th chapter of Acts. And you'll notice, as we notice some of these experiences of people who have given themselves to baptism, that one of the results of it is great joy and rejoicing. We just read about the eunuch going on his way rejoicing, and now I'd like to look here for just a little bit. At Paul and Silas in chapter 16 of Acts. They had all kinds of accusations put against them. If you're going to be a real Christian, people's going to talk about you sometimes. Some people will appreciate you if you take a stand for the truth and you try to do your very best to live for the Lord. And other people will hate you with all their hearts. And they hated Paul and Silas because this lady had been delivered from the powers of Satan. And it was the means where they made lots of money. And now they begin to accuse Paul and Silas. And it says in verse 22 of Acts 16, and the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And then when they had laid upon stripes, had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. It looked like their situation was a pretty hopeless situation. And the pressure is on those who really live for the Lord. It was on Paul and Silas. And the devil probably slipped around about then and said, now, do you think your religion is worth living for? Here you are stuck back in this dirty, filthy prison and your feet in stocks. But their hearts lifted up to the Lord in praise and adoration. I don't know what songs that they sang. No doubt it was psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And he says here that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They didn't quietly hunker over into the corner of the prison and pray silently so no one would hear them. But they just, and they didn't do it try to be seen, but they just simply praised the Lord and sang for his glory, and the prisoners heard him. Well, there was a God in heaven who was watching, who was listening. There was a God in heaven who was concerned about his children. And God did not stand by and let nothing take place. But the scripture says that suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And I think this could be an encouragement to the young people to realize sometimes when there's manifold temptations come your way and you're tempted sorely to just go the easy way or go the way everyone else is going, realize that God is watching and God is listening. The Holy Spirit is here to help you and to encourage you. And you don't have to go the way of just drifting with the tide, the thoughtless crowd that's going to end up in eternity without God, lots and lots of church members. But be one who's willing to stand by the truth, like Daniel, the three Hebrew children, and Esther, and all down through the scripture, there are those that were willing to stand for the truth and have the real thing. I remember a couple of young men that I used to work with in Springfield. One was a tough old, he was a welder and a rough kind of a fella, spit tobacco and about everything. The other one is, I don't know if he would have been a church member or not, but they began to question me. And it was soon after we had started coming here to the Mennonite church. And back then, they didn't wear bill caps, but they had this little cap that came around, and it was different than the others. And I had one of those on, and they asked me, "Why are you wearing that?" And they started asking all kinds of questions. What do you do when people start asking you questions that you just soon be someplace else? Well, I told them, I said, I decided one thing. If I was going to be a Christian, I was going to be a real Christian. I wasn't going to play around. I was going to be all out for the Lord. And it was, I don't know what all they asked me at that point, but it seemed to get the point across that I aimed to be a real Christian. And Paul and Silas were real saints of God. They were real Christians. No matter what people thought about them, no matter what people said and how they throwed them in prison, they just praised the Lord and sang the praises anyway. And suddenly, that great earthquake took place and the old prison doors flew open. The bands were loosed off of their feet and their arms. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And I thought, you know, this situation was, on one side was a sword to end his life. And there are a lot of people today that are about in that situation. They just assume, end it all. Why live in this mess that they've got themselves in? Why live in a situation like this? In the place where we were out in Pennsylvania, I went with my father-in-law, and he was going to ask some children if they would be ready to get on the little church van and go to church the next morning. And he was telling me all about them. And they had a poor home life. The parents loved them, but they didn't have a lot. And somebody got it in for them and turned them in to the social services and said they didn't take care of their children, that type of thing, which was not true. They didn't have a lot. They were poor. But they did love their children, and they did take care of them. And the social services came into their home and took all their children. They were brokenhearted. And he happened to be out there one day trying to get children to come to church. And here were these brokenhearted parents, and they told him about the situation. And if you know him, if something's wrong, he's going to try to do something about it. So immediately he went down to the social services, and he talked to the people there, and he said, these people love their children. They take care of their children. They're doing the best they can. They're poor people. They can't do a lot, but they love their children. And the man said, you really care for them, don't you? Yes, he said, I do. He wanted to help them. And in just no time, their children was back in the home. And he said the parents have never forgotten what he tried to do for them and the children. But you know, there's a lot of people in pitiful situations around us. Broken homes and scattered children and ruined lives. About like this man, he was at the end of himself. It looks like that his prisoners was all gone and all he could face was death. And I can't imagine how a man can take a sword, and sort of like Saul, he fell on a sword. Well, he took this sword and was going to kill himself. I don't know how he could do it. But he was ready to do it. But God intervened. And if God hadn't intervened for each one of these young people here, they wouldn't be sitting up here this morning. If God hadn't helped you as parents to pray for them and to talk to them and to have family worship with them and to live a life and a godly life and example, they wouldn't be sitting up here this morning. But because of God's help and because God intervened, this is what God has done. And it's nothing that we can crow about in any way, but it's what God has done. Well, Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out. Here was a grown man. Here was a man that was in charge of the prison. Here's a man with authority, just like the Ethiopian eunuch. And yet all of a sudden he was down back to square one, if you want to put it that way. Not thinking about earthly things, but now we're talking about spiritual things. And he's seeking God. What must I do? He didn't say, well, what's she going to do? You know, she's the one that talks about me. He's the one that does this and that. He forgot all about everybody else, and he got his fingers pointing straight at himself. And Lord, what can I do? What must I do to be saved? To be saved. Well, thankfully, there were some men of God there who was willing to preach the way of the cross. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That meant believe on him in such a way that you give yourself entirely to him, that you walk with him, that you live for him, that you obey him, that you don't try to hide things, you don't try to cover up any things, but it's an absolute surrender, an absolute giving your all to him, yielding in every single way. And when the temptation is hard, when the trials are on, just simply clinging to the Word of God and knowing that it's a firm foundation of the soul, and it will hold you even when the great storms hit your little vessel. All you have to do is keep your eyes upon the pilot and know that he knows how to pilot our little vessel right on through the storms of time. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. There's no ifs and ands about it. If you put your complete trust in the Lord, if you give yourself entirely to him, he will forgive you. If you confess your sin, if you repent of your sins, he will cleanse your heart. He will make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. You will have a home in heaven. And this is just one more step towards the celestial city. And one of these days, if you and I are faithful, the gates of pearl will swing wide open, and the saints of all ages, young and old, will be ushered into the presence of God. And all the saints that have gone on down through the years and through the ages will be there to welcome us home. Praise the Lord. But here was a step. He was just starting on his Christian journey. And it says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. I believe here was a complete turnaround. Here was a man that changed around. I don't know if he was the one that laid the lashes on with the cat of nine tails and cut their backs and whipped them until the stripes were cut down into the flesh. I don't know if he was the one that did it. But now here was a man who was wiping their stripes tenderly, wiping their backs and taking care of them. He had a turnaround, complete change in his life. He was not the same man. And it says, he washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God. And oh, if we could just know the strength of all that word, believing in God. I believe it means everything, complete, absolute surrender to God, yielding entirely to God, not playing religion, but believing in God with all his house. And today, as we're looking forward to this time of baptism, we can be those that, like the songwriter, the song we just sang a little bit earlier, Honey in the Rock. It's like you just got a little of that honey, a little of celestial honey, if you want to put it that way. And just taste again, each one of us, as we see these young people rejoicing that their sins are forgiven and giving themselves to baptism, it should do something for us and remind us again from the pit that God brought us from. Let's kneel in prayer.